Hey, my friend, welcome to Proverbs Every Day. Today we're going to be reading Proverbs 21. This is episode 235. So we'll be playing some music while people come in, and we'll talk to you very soon.
Before the earth was made, wisdom stood tall, knowing every step through the rise and the fall. In the pages of Proverbs, secrets unfold, revealing a treasure more precious than gold. Get wise, open your eyes, read a chapter every day. Proverb a day will bring wisdom your way. Get wise. It takes wisdom to get paid, to walk the right way, to make the right choices every single day. From the dawn of creation to the hustle and grind, Proverbs light the path for a clear state of mind. Get wise, open your eyes, read a chapter every day. You'll realize, guided by wisdom, let preparedness rise. Get wise, it's no surprise, a proverb a day will bring wisdom your way. Wives shouldn't act, men shouldn't brag. Shut your lips like a vice, show people you're wise. Get wise, open your eyes, read a chapter every day. Every verse, there's a lesson to learn, a spark of truth in every turn. So take a moment, let the word sink in. With every chapter, let the journey begin. Chapter every day, let the words of wisdom show you the way. Get wise, open your eyes, read a chapter every day. You'll realize, guided by wisdom, let preparedness arise. Get wise, it's no surprise, a proverb a day will bring wisdom.
All right, my friend, welcome to this thing, Proverbs 21. We're going to be reading Proverbs 21. Welcome to Proverbs Every Day. My name is DJ, and good to be with you here. We are reading today from the Holman Christian Standard Bible, but let me get started with a word of prayer, and then we'll jump right in here. Father God, thank you for another day that brings, moisture to where we are. It might be cold moisture, but moisture nonetheless. Maybe thank you for a day for us to pause and reflect a little bit and to look at our lives in general and slow down enough to actually see where you would guide us with your wisdom. So, Father, we do ask that you would bless this time together, that it be your words and not my words, and that the hope that is brought today would be not just a feeling but a reality. And so, Father, we ask that that would be something that we can give to others as well. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. It's time for Proverbs Every Day. Words of wisdom show you the way. Every month a whole new look, different version of the book, reading a whole chapter. All right. One of these days, I'm going to take the time to actually make that a nice proper video introduction, not just a song. But we've had so many tech challenges that I just haven't taken the time to get around. One of these days, what I need to be doing is getting better about finding volunteers to work with. But down the road, we'll get there. Remind myself that this is a ministry, not a job, in terms of what we do with this. So it's often more challenging in that regards, but it's quite all right. Proverbs 21, reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. A king's heart is like streams of water in the Lord's hand. He directs it wherever he chooses. We talked about that last month, I think, the concept of going through the hand, and it's just like it's hard to know where it's going to go, that sort of thing. Again, physics being what it is. All a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord evaluates his motives, or weighs the hearts. And again, see that, the motives. It's not, we think about our ways. God's not concerned about our actions as much as he is about our motives, about what's behind the scenes. It's important. In our world of apology tours and corrective statements, it's really our motives that are true, and that's what God sees. And so we need to be evaluating those much more than our actions. Our actions are subject to the moment. Our motives are not. Verse 3. Doing what is righteous and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. The lamp, or some sources read tillage there, which is very interesting. That's a little confusing. We'll just say it like it is. The lamp that guides the wicked, haughty eyes and an arrogant heart, is sin. You know, tillage may work there. Haughty eyes and an arrogant heart. Tillage being... that's what's behind the scenes. Again, we're going back to literary criticism here and looking at, contextual criticism, and looking at the what's been said already. And so we see here in verse 2 that the Lord evaluates the motives. And so as far as the guide of the wicked, this is what's behind the scenes. This is what's deep in. And when you till the ground, you're actually forcing the ground to kind of be mixed, and whatever is tilled is forced under. And so I like tillage there. I think that's really kind of cool. It's not just a lamp in that case. It's more of just like, yeah, they're guided by what's deep down. And that's just something we need to be recognizing. Verse 5, the plans of the diligent certainly lead to profit, but anyone who is reckless certainly becomes poor. So, plans of the diligent certainly lead to profit. Anyone who is reckless certainly becomes poor. I usually highlight this in green because this is something that I often need to remind myself not to be reckless in the case that I get some really excited about things sometimes, and I need to slow down and put this to my counsel and say, okay, I have this idea. What do we think? You know, that sort of thing. Be diligent. No schemes here, just plans, true plans. Verse 6, making a fortune through lying tongue is vanishing mist, or breath blown away. It's a pursuit of death. Well, a lot of footnotes here. One reads snare of death. The other one is vanity, or one seeking death. So it's... fortune through a lying tongue is a vanishing mist, or one seeking death. Okay. That makes sense. Verse 7, the violence of the wicked sweeps them away because they refuse to act justly. A guilty man's conduct is crooked, but the behavior of the innocent is upright. So what we're seeing here is kind of a counterpoint to the above here, where we have all man's ways seem to ride the Lord evaluates the motives. So what does that conduct look like then? So guilty man's conduct is crooked. Behavior of the innocent is upright. It's just the nature of that. Better to live on the corner of a roof than to share a house with a nagging wife. The verse that reveals character. Because every time I have... this is going to sound so mean, and I really don't mean it to be. But every time I have encountered a woman that freaks out about this verse... they're kind of describing themselves here. They would be that nagging wife. So, I do feel a pity, I guess, for that. It's like, wow, oh, honey, do you not see yourself here? Please don't be this way. Please just, you know, fix this part of your character. Oh, and I laugh because I was, there's a story. With me, not my current story, but my past story. This is going back 22 years. So anyway, it's something I was saved from. So Proverbs literally saved me for it. Mm-hmm. Let's move on. Verse 10, a wicked person desires evil. He has no consideration for his neighbor. Favor for his neighbor. Sounds kind of like a cool little rhyme there. When a mocker is punished, the inexperienced become wiser. When one teaches a wise man, he acquires knowledge. Yeah, this is always kind of weird to me. When a mocker is punished, the inexperienced can become wiser. I've often wondered if that is kind of a notion of learning from someone else's experience. It's something that actually I do, I don't want to say pride myself in, but that's something that I have tried to integrate into my life as much as possible from an early age, even from my teenage years. I tried to be in a position of learning from others, their experiences. And so this almost tells me that when a mocker is punished, it is an example for others to become wiser. And so when they're taught, they acquire knowledge. But it's a, remember that wisdom comes before knowledge. So you have to embrace wisdom first before you can actually attain knowledge. It's not the other way around. So when one teaches a wise man, he acquires knowledge. So that, I think there's two ways to interpret this. One is that the mocker can become wiser, but when one teaches a wise man, they're not punished. They acquire knowledge. That's the other way to kind of interpret that. But like I said, I do wonder sometimes if this is just as much saying that you can learn from other people's experiences, and you absolutely should learn from other people's experiences as well. Don't be in that position of belittling your wisdom because it didn't happen to you. Wisdom, in fact, is looking at what has happened around you or to others or to people in the past and learning from that, not just letting that be something that is just an experience in vain, but actually benefiting from that. I mean, at its core, that's why I do things like this. That's why I do things like write books. That's why I do things like speak on stages and coach people. It's really so that they can gain the benefit of whatever experiences I've had, but also the ones that I pass along. You know, I'm not always just telling my stories. You know, there are lots of stories out there to tell. And when I have permission to do so, I try to, because it really does point to, it's not just my experiences you should be learning from. And it's not just your own experiences you should be learning from. So if you've not had these experiences, that's not a negative thing. That's a positive thing. It's actually really positive if you have been able to be wise enough to avoid circumstances because of others going through them. Think of it this way. When I say you won't rise to the occasion, you'll only rise to your level of preparedness. If you're always looking for what will happen to you, then you won't rise to that occasion. You'll only survive it. You know, you won't be thriving that. You'll only be surviving it. You know, and that might be something where you get experience to go to the next level, or it might be something that knocks you down a peg. It's really depends on what it is and how you experience it. But if you build up preparedness based on what other people have seen and other people have experienced, then you're more likely to rise to that occasion when it comes. So if it helps, think of it that way. All right, verse 12 here. The righteous one considers the house of the wicked. He brings the wicked to ruin. The one who shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered. This is hard to articulate, but one of the things I'm noticing in the world is a confusion about this. Just because you don't give the poor what they claim to need, you're responding to their want in a moment, doesn't mean you're shutting your ear to them. In fact, many times it is important to be able to bring them towards your wisdom. It's really important to not just let them just wallow in that and say, here's some cash. Go ahead and just keep wallowing in it. You know, that's not love to do that. So if, again, this is going to sound a little bit harsh, but I think that just merely shoving cash at people that are poor or whatever, you know, or in dire straits or whatever that looks like, is essentially shutting your ear to them. You're not responding as they actually need. You're responding to their, to a moment and making it so that you're just pushing off the responsibility to someone else or to another time, another circumstance, but you're not actually taking that time to give them what they actually need. And you know, it's not an easy thing. There's a lot of behavioral changes and things like that. And that's what actually I've done enough time in psychiatric hospitals and not as a patient, to be clear, to be, you know, one as a psychiatric technician that was working there. My background is in psychology, just FYI. But there's also been times that I've worked in either ministries or volunteer work and things like that, and seen that if you don't correct a behavior, then it just continues. And so there's been a lot of these missions that have been under scrutiny lately, which is a shame, because they're trying to fix the core problem, which is the people's belief systems. And so when they have very specific rules that you must live within to be there, a lot of people that are in that situation will just not be willing. And they'll go out and just cry even louder. It's just a nature of this. And this is not really something that seems to change. But again, if you are just pushing the problem down the road, and I'm sorry to say this, but if you are expecting your church or your government or whatever other entity to do this because you've given them money or because you pay your taxes, shouldn't they be helping? Shouldn't they be doing this? Isn't this their problem? Do you see how unloving that is? But that's what your heart is saying, isn't it? Again, we're not judged by our actions. We're judged by our motives. So be careful. Be careful with that. Verse 14 is another one of those confusing verses. A secret gift soothes anger, and a covert bribe, fierce rage. Bribe in the bosom. It's very, I'm not sure what to do with that sometimes. We've investigated this one before, and it's just one of those very confusing things where we know that that kind of bribe given in secret kind of thing is something that might have a good positive result in the moment, but if it's done covertly for a person's gain, can end up with rage down the road. Very confusing one. But verse 15, justice executed is a joy to the righteous, but a terror to those who practice iniquity. The man who strays from the way of wisdom will come to rest in the assembly of the departed spirits. The one who loves pleasure will become a poor man. Whoever loves wine and oil will not get rich. This translation leaves something out there. There's a notion of overindulgence there, not just simple appreciation. Just to be clear on that. Verse 18, the wicked are a ransom for the righteous, and the treacherous for the upright. Or in place of the upright. Better to live in the wilderness than with a nagging and hot-tempered wife. Yeah. You hope that this is not somebody who is having just a really bad week. But, yeah. Verse 20. Precious treasure and oil are in the dwelling of a wise person, but a foolish man consumes them. Or consumes it. And again, we're going back to verse 17 there, that it is good to have these things, but if you just consume them foolishly because it's in the moment and not when it's appropriate, then that's you being foolish and your nature coming through. And yeah, so living in wisdom means how we approach our finances and our possessions, our wealth. Yeah. In all things. Verse 21, the one who pursues righteousness and faithful love will find life, righteousness, and honor. A wise person went up against the city of warriors and brought down its secure fortress. That's kind of cool. The one who guards his mouth and tongue will keep himself out of trouble. Pardon me. Keeps himself out of trouble. The proud and arrogant person named Mocker acts with excessive pride. A slacker's craving will kill him because his hands refuse to work. He's filled with craving all day long, but the righteous give and don't hold back. Craves a craving. So this is a warning that if you have a desire or a want or a need, if you don't do the work, you're not going to get the result. But the righteous give and don't hold back. This is not just the work. It's very interesting. The sacrifice of a wicked person is detestable. How much more so when he brings it with ulterior motives? Okay, God, I'm going to do this for you. Here's what I want you to do for me. Yeah, sure. A lying witness will perish, but the one who listens will speak successfully. The one who listens will speak successfully. I like that. Grab that one. It's always the thing about this venue. It's always tough because it's so one-sided. You know, I'm putting words out there, and you know, when I'm doing this live like this, I see that people are here and hearing me. But it's always just such a one-sided conversation. And so it's a little rough for me sometimes to be one who's having to just be one way. It's not how I usually operate. And so it's a very awkward thing sometimes. But we get through it. A wicked man puts on a bold face, but the upright man considers his way. The upright man, in other words, does not pretend. No wisdom, no understanding, and no counsel will prevail against the Lord. A horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory comes from the Lord. I always like that one. So in your battles today, as you go forward from this, what's that going to look like? Is this going to be a day of bragging about how awesome you did, or worse, is it going to be a day of like, oh well, another day, I didn't get anything done today. I know I had these failures today. Or are you going to claim that victory because it comes from the Lord? Are you going to claim that victory because it doesn't come from you? Just like that failure, it's the Lord isn't there in that. So all you have to do is lean in. Prepare that horse till you're blue in the face. It's not going to win the battle. Victory comes from the Lord. Awesome stuff today. We will see you again, once again tomorrow for Proverbs 22. Until then, be blessed by the best, and then go be a blessing to all the rest. Love you guys, and I will see you tomorrow.